This is Mark Stein. Welcome to the third of our special Sinatra Centennial series. The song is You.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start and then melt away. I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody of some enchanted land. Music is sweet, the words are true, the song is.
Frank Sinatra sang the best songs of the 20th century, and in this series, we hear the stories of those songs told by the songwriters who wrote them. Usually it's a mixed bag, two lyricists, one composer, one gal, couple of guys, but for this show, we have just one songwriter, Alan Bergman, because he happens to be one half of a songwriting partnership responsible for more Sinatra songs than any other current writing team. That's not what they're known for. Alan and Marilyn Bergman are more associated with Barbara Streisand, and they're better known for songs such as You Don't Bring Me Flowers, The Way We Were, Windmills of Your Mind. But long before any of those big hits, they were young, unknown writers who just so happened to have a bunch of their songs picked up by the biggest name in popular music, as Alan will tell us. So from here on in, the song is Alan and Marilyn Bergman, and the singer is Frank Sinatra.
Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you.
Alan, when people talk about the beginning of your partnership, it always sounds like the plot of a romantic comedy. Lou Spence was a composer.
Yes.
And he had one lyricist he wrote with in the mornings and another lyricist he wrote with in the afternoons.
That's
and
right.
One day, his morning lyricist stayed late and his afternoon lyricist arrived early. And that's how the world got Mr. and Mrs. Bergman.
That's how it started, yes. We wrote a song that day that we met, not a very good song, but we enjoyed the process a lot, and we've been writing together ever since.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime.
Well, his manager put out a call, and I think to all over the country, in 1960 it was. Frank was about to make a kind of lightly swinging love song album, and they wanted a title song. And so they asked many songwriters to, you know, to write a song. And, you know, writing for Frank Sinatra, it's really like a custom-made suit. He had such a personality and such, you knew what he what would sound good in his voice and the attitude of the song. And we wrote Nice and Easy, and he liked it a lot, and it became the title song of that album.
Yeah, and it's an interesting song because, as I understand it, he took the tempo wasn't necessarily what you'd had in mind, what you'd heard in your head as the three of you were writing.
No, that's true. Yeah, and he did a little faster, and he was right. he and Nelson Riddle, who did the arrangement.
And you were actually there in the studio when he was working out the ending, where he was doing all that
yes.
one more time Count Basie business.
Yes, he was very sweet to us because he called us the kids. And ever since that recording session, we were the kids, you know. He would call us sometimes and say, I need something, could you do it? And it was always the kids. We had dinner with him when we were in our 70s, and he still called us the kids.
I would think, actually, it's quite. It gets nicer as you get older.
Yeah, when absolutely.
Does that. You made a. You said you wrote it with him in mind. You made a terrific record of Nice and Easy a couple of years ago. And one of the things that if people listen to that. You sing, and there's a little bit of an instrumental break, and then you come back and you start singing a second set of lyrics about sitting back, no need to race, future's looking rosy, bells are bound to chime. And they're not on the Frank Sinatra record.
Sit back, let it happen, no need to race, I feel it's all just falling into place. So let's start getting cozy. The future's looking rosy. Those bells are bound to chime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time.
Sit back and let it happen. No need to race. I think we're all just falling into place. Yeah.
Did Frank Sinatra ever see those lyrics?
No, he never did. You know, as we progressed writing and so on, we always felt that the singer tells a story on the first chorus, and it would be good to write something fresh when the next bridge comes and out. We just feel it's better for the singer to have something new to say in telling the story when they're singing. Barbara Streisand really got us into that habit. She said, write something different there for me. And we started to do that. And we think
she doesn't like reprises. And she doesn't like just singing the first chorus and then coming back and singing it a second time.
Because you've already said it, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And it's time for something new, a new idea, a new verse, a new bridge, you know.
Yeah, I remember this goes back to one of the first songwriting teams, but Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes.
I can't remember which show it was now, but a reprise had been scheduled, and the singer asked Gilbert, as Barbara Streisand might, if she could have a second set of lyrics for the reprise. And he said, reprise means sing it again. That was W.S. Gilbert's view of the matter. But Nice and Easy a lot of people write songs for Sinatra, and he recorded 1500.
Yes.
What's the difference when one fits him like a glove, and if a space alien arrives and says, who was this Frank Sinatra guy? Nice and Easy is one of those songs that tells you who he is. How do you know when you've got it that right, as it were?
Well, there were certain attitudes that he had. He took every song and made it, not only made it his own, but he communicated. He was a great storyteller, which is the secret of singing, really, is communicating what you're singing about. You know, the best singers have three things. They have the instrument, the heart, and the intelligence in those three places. That's what makes one different than the other, one better than the other.
And it must, when you're there watching him, and it's a new song, as Nice and Easy was, in a sense you're watching that process in action, because he's actually discovering his approach to the song in front of your eyes
in
that situation.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And the more he sings them, the more well-rounded the performances are.
We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it every time. Let's try it once more. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it every time. Isn't that better, baby?
What about with something like Nice and Easy, when he puts that little bassy end, the one more time thing in? You're the guys, you're on the other side of the glass, you're the guys who supply the words. and he's added that you, Count Basie, never, that presumably never occurred to you when you were writing it.
No,
Are you one of these people, like certain writers, that, well, you mentioned Richard Rodgers, he didn't like it if people did anything different with his stuff. Do you figure, I mean, what's your attitude the song floats free of you in that way, as it were?
Yeah, but that's part of the persona again. That's part of the performance, and it enhances what he is doing.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it every time, like the man says one more time. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it. Nice and Easy does it every time.
You write a lot for films, and Marilyn talks about writing for drama and writing for character and writing for situation.
Yeah.
When you write for Frank Sinatra, is that basically like a one man dramatic play walking around
Absolutely.
In a suit and hat?
Absolutely. There's a real character there, a real persona that you can use certain words, ideas, that you wouldn't, you know. And also, we can't forget the composers, you know. People think of their melody writers, but they're dramatists as well. Mm. And those melodies, we've been very lucky because we write 90% of the time to the melody. We both had mentors that, you know, that told us that's the best way to write, and we feel that way. We really do. There's another song that we wrote for him that kind of has his attitude, a song called Love Looks So Well on You, which that's something he would, you would think he would say to a woman.
Like moonlight looks on the countryside, like a rose that's silver with dew, like sunlight looks on a meadow, love looks so well on you.
Well, we like that a lot, yeah. And there's a wonderful arrangement. It's a lovely record.
Now, I'm trying to think where I heard this from, but that either you or Marilyn had actually written a song at one point with Nelson Riddle, because at one point in the 1950s, Nelson Riddle was trying his hand at songwriting as opposed to...
Yes, he did. I'm not sure it was before that. It could have been, but... maybe it was before when we did that song for Sinatra. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we did write one song with him, and I can't remember the title at the moment, but we did. He was a lovely man, and better he should do what he did, because he did it wonderfully well.
Every day you grow even lovelier. Yes, you do, my darling, you do. I love you every day of your life, 'cause love looks so well
to say. Nice and Easy is of that little period of songs is the biggest hit you wrote for Sinatra, but I have to say I have a real fondness for Old MacDonald.
Yes.
And this is your Old MacDonald, MacDonald that they're singing,
yes,
in kindergarten. isn't your lyric, but this right. One that Sinatra does is. Yeah, I think, as I understand it, Bobby Darin had a big hit at the time with, I think it was Clementine that he'd done, and there was some thought that you might do a 19th century folk song. There must be some or a nursery rhyme, and you were just scrambling around trying to find something in that vein that you could update.
It wasn't so much Clementine, but you know, Mac the Knife.
Oh, yeah.
That he did, where it modulated when each chorus went up a little, you know, and there was a repetitive form to it.
So the idea being you were looking for like a simple,
yeah,
tune you could,
yeah,
take up half a tone, yeah, with every little verse. As well.
Yeah.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm there was a chick, the prettiest chick I know. With a little curve here and a little curve there, this chick, she had curves everywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Everyone has these great moments of history that they wish they'd been present at, you know, whether when Sir Isaac Newton got hit on the head by an apple or Metternich had to flee Vienna in a laundry basket. I would love to. My one is I would love to have been in the room when presumably either you or Marilyn said Old MacDonald had a farm, and on that farm he had a chick, and then the light bulb popped. I mean, that is the whole song just sort of drops into place once you've got that line. Is that actually how it happened?
Well, you know, you. Well, kind of. I don't remember exactly. We just thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to make him a traveling salesman, so to speak, and checking into, you know, a farm where there was a chick there. And it was a natural. Once you got the idea, it was kind of easy to write.
Well, I could see.
And fun.
And
the form of it was perfect for what we wanted to say, you know, with the traveling salesman going to hitching up in the farmer's daughter.
and it winds up, I mean, the great thing about that is that, as you say, once you've got the structure, that all that it all falls into place, the way you use the with a gosh dang here and a gold ring there and all that. And it's a funny idea. Frank Sinatra on a farm is itself a funny idea.
Exactly. You know, and I got my own county fair, you know.
Now I don't know.
And that was a wonderful arrangement by Nelson. I mean, it really swings.
You know? Oh, absolutely. And and actually, Bill Miller on the piano on that is, I mean, because that's the you're dealing there. I mean, the lyric is great, but the tune is, you know, is a nursery rhyme. And the way there's always something interesting going on in the background of that record.
Yeah, absolutely.
And oh, this chick, she had a walk, E-I-E-I-O, and how this walk would drive 'em wild, swinging to and fro, with a little wiggle here and a little wiggle there. Man, this chick had wiggles to spare. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. When she went walking into town, E-I-E-I-O, the local gentry popped their eyes. Tarnation, what a show, with a gold dang here and a gosh darn there. Heavens to Betsy, I do declare, Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. There was a barn dance Saturday night, E-I-E-I-O. And the fellas came for miles around just to see her do-si-do, with a promenade here and a promenade there. At a square dance, boy, this chick was no square. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. I used to be a traveling man, E-I-E-O. Until I hit MacDonald's place, things were mighty slow. With a little chick here and a little chick there, I didn't have a real chick anywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. This farmer's daughter knocked me out, E-I-E-I-O. I asked MacDonald for her hand, and Pappy hollered, go. With a little curve here and a little wiggle there, a gold dang here and a gosh darn there, a do-si-do here and a promenade there. Got my own private county fair, 'cause old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-O.
I don't know whether you knew. I met him occasionally over the years. Gene Leese, who was
very well,
lyricist and
wonderful writer.
And and Gene Leese, he wrote the lyric to "Quiet Night, A Quiet Star" and things. He famously said, and I mentioned this to him, and we had a little bit of an argument about it. But he famously said that Old MacDonald demonstrated Sinatra's contempt for the audience, and that he had no business, a man who sings Cole Porter and Rodgers and Hart has no business singing MacDonald had a farm. I don't know whether he ever said that to your face.
No, he never did. And we were very close But he, he was an odd fellow, Gene, and very talented, very gifted. You know, he had a jazz letter.
Right, oh yes.
Was really terrific.
No, I know. I used to get that, but it was one of these things where he always had interesting things to say. But
yes.
But he took it very seriously.
Yes, he did.
And I wondered. You know, it's fun. I mean, it is strange to me that he could fall into. I brought up the old MacDonald thing about, I think, whatever it was, 20 years after he'd originally said it, and he was still kind of steamed that Frank Sinatra recorded old MacDonald.
I never talked to him about that. I should have.
It is a great record, and
it is.
And Sinatra sounds as if he's just having a ball.
Yeah.
Delighted when he saw it?
I see. Yeah, he had a good time. He had a good time.
What was one of the? I think this was actually one of the first songs you wrote for him, and he used it as a theme song on his television show for a while, and that is Sleep Warm.
Yes. He asked us to do that, you know, could you write, because he said that in closing every night, he would say sleep warm. That's how it came about.
So the phrase is, because even today, Nancy Sinatra closes her radio show by reprising that line. So that's, he actually gave you the title.
Yes, that's what he said, yeah. So I'd like to have a song, Sleep Warm, And it came out, it's a wonderful record. It's beautiful, I think.
Sleep warm, sleep tight. When you turn off the light, sleep warm, sleep well, my love. Rest your head on the pillow. What a lucky pillow, close to you, so close to you all night.
Rest your head
what a lucky pillow.
Exactly. Which just makes that song and the way Sinatra sings it is just lovely. It's a lovely thought. That.
But I didn't realize that was before Nice and Easy, huh?
You said
58 because Nice and Easy was 1960, as I believe.
That's right. Yeah. I think that was the first one. Did it strike you as odd that you got that assignment rather than Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen? Or
I don't know. We were just, we were so happy. We didn't think about anything but writing the song.
And then about, I think it's a month later, I think he made it in September 1958. And then in October 1958, he's conducting an album
With Dean Martin, yeah.
Sleep warm, sleep well. Let dreams weave you a spell. Sweet dreams of me, my love.
And Dean Martin singing Sleep Warm, and it's the title song of the album. So within 5 weeks, you've got a record by Frank Sinatra and a record by Dean Martin on this song.
Yeah. Luck is... you get lucky sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's more than luck, actually. Well, we should probably say at this point a few words about Lou Spence.
Yes.
Because I didn't know him. I think I had one conversation with him, and he has had a kind of slightly odd career because he was a successful composer who then decided, as a kind of rather unusual midlife crisis, that he'd prefer to write lyrics, and he switched around. But at the time, you and Marilyn were writing with him. He was a music man.
Absolutely, yes, and very good. Yeah. Hmm. He was odd too, we wrote many things. Love Looks So Well on You and a Sentimental Baby, I think.
Well, I think he did because you were I don't know whether you were a permanent team as it were at that time, but you certainly had a kind of good run with Sentimental Baby and Love Looks So Well on You and Sleep Warm and Nice and Easy. Yeah. I mean, so that's like a pretty...
Yeah.
That's a nice little collection.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you find that you want other when you're young, and so you want other voices in your musical voices. And so I think we were searching, Marilyn and I, we wrote, you know, since then with a lot of people.
As I said, these little, you are associated, I think, with a particular mature, reflective kind of song, that a kind of mature perspective on romance with things like The Way We Were, or Where Do You Start? And these little songs you wrote for Frank Sinatra at the end of the 50s, beginning of the 60s, do you and Marilyn today sit back and still enjoy Old MacDonald and Nice and Easy? And you didn't do Old MacDonald on your solo album.
No, I didn't. Well, you know, that's you're on your way to finding your voice, the singular voice that you want to. And that's what you, in maturing, so to speak, at your craft. But we hardly listen to our own stuff over, you know.
Why don't you take it easy?
Wait after all these years.
Nice and easy.
Teach an old dog new tricks.
And nice and easy.
Okay, I'm fine.
Now you read me, see. Let's take it nice and easy. Let's keep it nice and easy. In this next song and dance.
Gene Kelly, he was very instrumental in our career, and he loved that song, Nice and Easy. But I play tennis every day. I still do. And there was a place where in the 60s that I played tennis every weekend, and Gene was one of the players. And he said to Marilyn and I, I just finished a picture in France, and there's a young composer coming over here to do a little work on it with me. And I think you and he could write great things together. I'm going to introduce you to him. And he introduced us to Michel Legrand.
Oh,
that's how it happened.
Right, because of the young girls of...
Rochefort.
Yeah.
And we've been writing with it. That's almost 50 years ago. We did the Thomas Crown Affair, where we wrote The Windmills of Your Mind with Michel Legrand. And Frank was the one who, on the Oscar show, gave us the Oscar. Yeah.
Now that we've heard all five nominated songs, let's get to the envelope. Which one do you think grabs the Oscar? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, music and lyrics by Richard M. Sherman and Robert B. Sherman. For Love of Ivy, music by Quincy Jones, lyrics by Bob Russell. Funny Girl, music by Julie Stein, lyrics by Bob Merrill. Star, music by Jimmy Van Heusen, lyrics by Sammy Kahn. The Windmills of Your Mind, music by Michel Legrand, lyrics by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. And as little more we can add to this thing, and the winner is Michel Legrand and Alan Marilyn Bergman for The Windmills of Your Mind.
He handed it to Marilyn, and Marilyn said, "Oh, it's heavy." She almost dropped it.
I gather you thanked him for Nice and Easy on the Oscar night as you were
I did. I did. Yes. Well, you know, it was a night where you we never expected to win that night. Mm. And it was the first time we were nominated, so that makes it easy.
Right. Were there ever moments when you think, "Oh, I wish he'd," like with Windmills of Your Mind, did you ever think, "Oh, you know, there's a great Sinatra record in there sometime"?
He was so great that there were many songs of ours that we would have loved him to do. He did, as you say, the Summer Knows made a beautiful record of that. And Summer Me, Winter Me. He was so funny. He called us one day after he heard Barbara Streisand's record of What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? And he called and he said, "Kids, I'm not following in that broad."
What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life. I have only one request of your life, that you spend it all with me.
And it took him about 10 years later, he did record it, thank goodness. Yeah.
I want to see your face in every kind of light, in fields of dawn and forests of the night. And when you stand before the candles on a cake, oh, let me be the one to hear the silent wish you make. What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life. I have only one request of your life, that you spend it all with me. All the seasons and the times of your days, all the nickels and the dimes of your days,
Let the reasons and the rhymes of your days all begin and end with me. I want to see your face in every kind of light, in the fields of dawn and the forest of the night. And when you stand before the candles on a cake, oh, let me be the one to hear the silent wish you make. Those tomorrows waiting deep in your eyes, in the world of love that you keep in your eyes. I'll awaken what's asleep in your eyes. It may take a kiss or two through all of my life. Summer, winter, spring, and fall of my life. All I ever will recall of my life is all of my life with you.
Julie Stein used to say, I've had the great fortune to write for the greatest male singer of our time and the greatest female singer of our time. And he meant Frank and Barbara. And he would sometimes go into detail about things where he thought this wasn't a Sinatra song, it was more of a Streisand song or vice versa or whatever. When you hear What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life or other, when you hear songs that they both did, do you enjoy both for different reasons?
Oh, yes. I mean, the fact that the two greatest singers are interpreting your work, it's really a thrill. I mean, absolutely.
Summer me, winter me, and with your kisses, morning me, evening me. And as the world slips far away, star away, forever me with love.
Summer Me, Winter Me is a lovely record.
Yeah.
And Frank's Sinatra, not many people know this story, but he was very, very sweet to us. He went to see a movie, that preview of a movie of a picture called The Best Friends. There was a song in there that he came out of the picture, and he called Tony Bennett. And he was very, very complimentary about this song. And he called Tony Bennett. He said, I don't have a date coming up. He said, you have to go in and record this song. And Tony Bennett did what he was asked to do or demanded to do.
How do you keep the music playing? How do you make it last? How do you keep a song from fading too fast?
He went in and recorded the song, and he has closed, this is 20, 25 years ago, right? He has closed the show, his show, every night with that song. As how do you keep the music playing? Mm-hmm. And that's because Frank, you know, loved the song, and it took him, he recorded it, one of the last things he recorded was that song. But that's, you know, it's very nice of him to do that.
No, that's a very generous
Yeah.
Act.
How do you keep the music playing? How do you make it last? How do you keep the song from fading too fast? How do you lose yourself to someone and never lose your way? How do you not run out of new things to say? And since we know we're always changing, how can it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you is now or never. The more I love, that in your eyes I may not see forever, forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, with any luck, then I suppose the music, it never ends.
He called us one day. He says, kids, I'd like you to write me a 10-minute number. And we said, okay, about what? And he said, well, you know, boy meets girl, boy gets girl. And we said, well, let us think about that, because that's been written. Let us think about it. And then he said, get the frog, which meant get Michel Legrand to be the composer. And I called him about 2 weeks later, and I said, we have an idea that we like, but we can't have Michel because his father is not well. He's really dying, and Michel is taking care of him. I said, how about Johnny Williams? Now, this is before, long before it became John Williams, and the great composer that he is. He was, you know, the number one studio pianist here in California. He's a great jazz piano player. And we had written several songs with him, and we felt he was a terrific songwriter. He doesn't write too many songs, but he's a wonderful songwriter. Anyway, he said, Frank said, fine, you know. And we did write a 10-minute number for him. It was late in his career, and whenever he saw us, he would say, and he loved it. And he said, I'm going to learn it, I promise. But he hardly, I'm sorry to say, never learned it. I told this story when my CD came out, and The next day, Michael Feinstein was on the phone. I want those 10 minutes. And we said, you can't have them because we wrote it for Frank, and it's in there somewhere in, you know, in the trunk. Right. But it's in the files. But we said, there's a transition in there that we could make a song out of. It's about 16 bars only in this 10 minutes, but it could develop into a song. He said, would you do it for me? And we said, yes, okay. We called Johnny Williams and said what we wanted to do, and he wrote the rest of the melody for us.
The same hello, a smile, and then we knew at once that here we are involved again.
And Michael Feinstein recorded it, and so did Barbara Streisand, oddly enough. A song called The Same Hello, The Same Goodbye.
The same hello, and all the things we said we couldn't bear again are there again.
That's 2 minutes out of the 10 minutes.
Yes. Was even less than that because it wasn't a fully developed song. But the 10 minutes were about somebody, a man who fell in love with the same woman, not physically, but physically, emotionally, and so forth, and then would leave, you know, or something would happen to the romance, and then it would be the same hello to somebody else, you know.
No, and he had, when you went down to Palm Springs to demonstrate he was kind of overcome by emotion.
Yes, yes. He said to Marilyn, he said, how do you know so much about me? And we said, well, Marilyn said, you know, your life has not been a closed book, so to speak.
And you keep that in the trunk, the full 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and nobody will do that.
What's your thinking on that? Is that just because wrote it for him and he didn't sing it, and so you don't, if, you know, Michael Feinstein or Michael Bublé or Lady
same.
Gaga can call up and you're just going to say no?
Yeah. Yeah, but no, you know, it's for him. It's not wasted at all because we had the experience of writing it. We liked what we did, and okay, you know. Next.
Is that a standard operating procedure? I mean, if he'd turned down Old MacDonald, would you have said, would you have said to Johnny Mathis, sorry, we're not getting Old MacDonald out of the trunk for you?
That's not the same, you know.
That's not the same. No.
Writing for a real character, a real personality.
Well, you did one of the, I think the last songs you did specifically for him was for really what was his final solo studio album when you did L.A.
Is My Lady, yeah.
With Quincy Jones,
yeah.
Which, because he's associated with New York, but in fact he spent the bulk of his life actually living in California.
Yeah,
so
right.
L.A. Is My Lady was actually his home turf by then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how did that album, because again, that's not many people who, I mean, you have Nice and Easy as the title song in right at the end of the Capitol era, and then right at the end of his recording career, completely, almost, you have L.A. Is My Lady as another title song.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. It worked out that way. L.A. Is My Lady came about with Quincy, you know, who was very close to Frank.
That makes me a dancer. I brought her my wildest of dreams, and she came up with the answer. I leave behind a part of myself whenever I leave her. But oh, when I'm back in her arms, she smiles and then I am home again.
Car.
L.A. is my lady. She's always there for me. L.A. is my lady. She knows how to care for me. No lady sweeter. You know it the moment you meet her.
At one point, he called and asked us to change the lyrics of The Summer Knows. And we went over them very carefully and said to Frank, it was written for the end of a movie. And they didn't use it in the movie because the director had done some a kind of epilogue that he liked. And he delivered it. So it was hard to say to the director, you know, this is better. So they never used it in the movie, but it was really about a young man growing up, and the images, we didn't want to make a love song out of it. And he understood that. And he said, okay. And he sang it anyway.
That's fascinating, because he called up Ira Gershwin and asked for changes, and he called up Hugh Martin and asked for changes. And this is the only, of all the songwriters I've heard that from, you're the only guys who stood firm and said, no, this is how it is. That's interesting.
Well, only because it that song is very unique in what it says for the movie, you know, and we didn't want to adapt it for something else.
And so even though the director had come up with a totally different ending for the movie,
yeah,
you still, in your mind, you still, it was still linked with that dramatic.
Yes, that's what it was written for, you know. And certain songs of ours would never have been written without the images and the words of the screenplays.
That, I mean, I remember, I can't remember all the details about this now, but I remember you saying to me, years and years and years ago, you'd been to see a review in which a rather naive group of singers had put together a collection of your songs, and they'd used The Way We Were, I think. It was sung in this little show by someone who was meant to be 15 or 16 years old and singing about first love. And you said, you know, well, that's ridiculous. If they'd wanted a song about first love, we wouldn't have written The Way We Were. We would have written something, you know, entirely different for that situation. And that and in a sense, I guess the Sinatra thing is the same thing. You'd rather he tapped into the emotional pulse of The Summer Knows than that you rewrite The Summer Knows to tap into his emotional pulse.
And he did. He did. Yeah. You know, he figured it out, so to speak.
Well,
but I mean, he was so wonderful. Did that, you know, he did. He knew how to tell a story, like Barbara does. And you know, that and Judy Garland did, you know. And that's what it's about, telling you through the voice and the heart and the mind, why you listen.
When you hear that line, and unashamed she sheds her clothes, but he invests it with the sense that he's been there and he understands this, and the weight of the line sits with him well.
Yes, I think that you really said something really important. He's been there.
The
The summer smiles, the summer knows, and unashamed, she sheds her clothes. The summer smooths the restless sky, and lovingly she warms the sand on which we lie. The summer knows, the summer's wise. She sees the doubts within your eyes, and so she takes her summer time, tells the moon to wait and the sun to linger. Twists the world round her summer finger, lets you see the wonder of it all. And if you've learned your lesson well, there's little more for her to tell. One last caress, it's time to dress for fall.
The fact that it's part of his legacy, that he's done these songs and thought enough of the songs to do them, is very rewarding for, you know, for Alan and myself.
Thank you very much for sharing some of these memories of old MacDonald, which, as I said, it's just like I would have loved to. I don't know. As I said, I know you've taken joint credit for everything.
We never know. At the end, it doesn't matter. You know.
I know. I just would when they write the screenplay, because. there is a great romantic comedy in there, but I would love to know who the one who actually... I guess it's like the Kentucky Fried Chicken formula or whatever. It's just like an Alan and Marilyn Bergman corporate secret. But the one who, when that light bulb went off over... and on that farm he had a chick. It's a great moment. Different from the summer nose.
A little bit. You know, people ask us, how do you do it? You're together 24 hours a day, and you know, work and love and so forth. And I tell them, and we've just written it as a song. I tell them four words: one washes, one dries. That's it.
If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, with any luck, then I suppose the music never ends.
Thank you very much, Alan.
My pleasure, Mark.
Sharing some of these Sinatra memories.
My pleasure.
We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time.
The voice was Frank Sinatra. The song was Alan and Marilyn Bergman. See you next time.
The music is sweet. The words are true. The song is you.